Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Monday morning health briefs now. Dr. Jeffrey Boomer is emergency medicine physician for Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Boomer, good morning. Let's start by talking about this study that really took a look at our eating habits and how it affects health, and really sugary drinks, the big culprit here, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think as Americans, we know that we're becoming aware of the fact that the sugary drinks are not doing us any favors, right? I think they replace basically nutritional drinks with just empty calories and are not doing us really any good. But yeah, this study really actually looked at how much of an impact it's actually making, at least from a global standpoint. And it turns out that these sugary drinks, the sodas that we're talking about here, are linked to 340,000 deaths globally. Going back to 2020, but including or contrary to 20, I'm sorry, 340,000 deaths of and then that to really related to type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. It's a silent killer, because I don't think any of us are really thinking about it when you're having that Coke at a fast food restaurant. But more, I mean, in the long term, it is really doing a lot of harm.
Yes, diabetes and heart disease rising because of that. There was also a list published recently about ways to improve your heart health. And I was looking at the list. A few of the things we know about smoking and alcohol is confusing now, though, because it's a toxin to the heart, but it seems like every week there's a new study, and we're not sure if it's beneficial to have a couple of drinks, or you shouldn't have any drinks. Well, is there a final word on this yet?
You know, there's probably not a final word. There is emerging data coming through that says that there's probably not that the health benefits that we've been sort of led to believe that exist for drinking in moderation, especially the red wine, right? There was always for that notion that drinking red wine in moderation can help your heart. But I think the reality of it is that alcohol is a toxin, and it's a toxin to virtually every cell in our body. And so there probably is not a safe amount of alcohol to drink. I think that the less alcohol one drinks, the less likely they are to have consequences in terms of health consequences. But instead of it just being a toxin to the liver, which is we've sort of known for a long time, in terms of the heavy drinking, what its toll it takes on the liver, we're now seeing that it has effects on so many other parts of our body, and heart is not immune to that. So it increases triglycerides, it leads to fatty deposits in arteries, and so it also, it also induces high blood pressure, heart arrhythmias, and even heart failure. So I think, in terms of heart health, it certainly has it's taken its toll, but I don't think there is a right amount. And I think, as you probably know, the Surgeon General has wants to get the word out there that it not only has the effects that we already know about, but it also it's also a cancer causer. And I think that's it's something that I don't think most Americans, actually studies show most Americans don't know that link. I think, like, again, we probably know about the link, would make the assumption that it causes liver cancer, but it causes several other types of cancers as well. So yeah, certainly it's a toxic, and I think we just have to be careful about, I think moderation is definitely the key, but less is definitely more.
More to come on that. And the dietary guidelines for Americans are about to be updated, aren't they?
Yeah, in terms of in what terms are you talking about now, Bob?
Well, I was reading about alcohol and the confusion over these studies and the debate, and it seemed like when these guidelines are rewritten, they may include, if not the final word on alcohol, some updated information.
Well, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think there's going to be contradicting data. Of course, you know, the industry is going to want to make sure that there's data out there that says that it's okay. And that's sort of that's how it went with the tobacco industry for a long time as well. I think that there's certainly going to be some debate, though, and there's going to be some contradicting data. I think that, but I think overall, I think that we're seeing that there's a dose dependent effect on our bodies. And, you know, that, you know, for instance, for breast cancer, you know, the one drink a day in women increases their breast cancer risk by 10%. Two drinks goes up from there. So I think obviously the less you drink, the less likely you're going to have any effects on your health. But you know, I think if you're a daily drinker, and you know, I think consideration for changing your habits can go a long way in terms of your long term health and your prevention of heart disease, prevention of cancers, and so forth.
Emergency medicine physician for Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Jeffrey Bomer, with us. I was looking at that list, Dr. Bomer, of the ways to improve your heart health. And one of the things they have here is stick to the grocery store's perimeter. I don't know if I have the willpower to do that. I guess the message I have is don't go shopping at the supermarket when you're hungry, but you really should stick to the perimeter, shouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I agree. I saw that. I thought to myself, yeah, I need to do the same. I need to take that same tactic. But yeah, I mean, it's all about, it's really getting after the fruits and the vegetables, your whole grains, you know, your lean proteins. I mean, that's where you're going to find that on those outer aisles. Excuse me. You're going through the center aisles. You're going to find more of those processed foods. And that's where you're going to run into trouble. So, I think, you know, if you're really looking to make some significant changes in your diet, I mean, you know, sticking to one of those diets that are really well structured and well written about, like the Mediterranean diet, the DASH diet, I think those are really, really healthy ways to go if you really need to make some changes there. But a simple thing you can do is just replace, you know, if you're a red meat eater, you know, replace the red meat with plant-based options, fish or lean poultry, you know, chicken, and then it really just staying away from those ultra-processed foods is going to go a long way.
Have you had a chance to get into this trend for weight loss? It's called the 666 walking diet. Does this work, do you think?
I think it's a great thing. I mean, obviously, we've seen these other trends. You know, the treadmill trend was the 30, 12, 3, you know, with the, you know, the, you know, 30 minutes, 12 degrees of incline with this 3 miles per hour. So this is it's an easy thing to remember. But I think it's easy to remember, and it gives you structure, right? And I think it's great. I think it's, you know, if you stick to it, even if you do it 4 days a week, you're gonna get more than 150 minutes of that cardiovascular activity that they recommend. So, you know, what it is that, you know, it's 60 minutes of walking. You do it at 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. That sort of accommodates for most of our work schedules. And then you have a 6-minute warm-up, 6-minute cool-down. And, you know, walking is, I mean, it's been proven, and we've talked about it on the show before, how many health benefits it has. I mean, obviously, and you know, physically, it can help you burn fat if you get into that sort of zone two of getting 50% of your target heart rate. Helps your bone strength, joint health, even helps digestive health, helps your mental health. So there's so many benefits to walking. So I think that just providing that structure, it's easy to remember, 666. Get out there for 60 minutes. I think it's a great thing. So I do like it. I think there's definitely something there with this, and walking. I think it's a very, you know, it's a very cost efficient mechanism to get out there and get moving and get some exercise.
And don't underestimate the power and benefits of taking the stairs instead of the elevator, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about hearing before we let you go, Doctor. And I know a lot of Christmas gifts were AirPods, and I was surprised to read that it's estimated 1 in 8 young people between the ages of 6 and 19 have hearing loss because of music blaring through earbuds or headphones. So the message is turn it down, huh? Like your parents said when you were a kid, turn it down. Will you turn that thing down?
Well, I'll tell you, I guess I wasn't terribly surprised, but I've had 3 college-age kids in my household, seen how a couple of them have used music. I'm not surprised. And, you know, it really is – it really has become a thing, you know, but that 1 in 8 is staggering. So, I mean, I think there's, it definitely really enforces it sort of reinforces the idea that we need to educate our kids about the importance of keeping that sound down. It's not just for, and now that they have headphones, they're not blaring the stereo in their bedroom. They're playing it on their headphones. We may not be, we may not have the knowledge of how much they're blurring their music, but even turning it down to 50% or 60% of what their max is going to go, it'll go a long way in terms of preventing that damage. But I think it's also important to make sure that those AirPods or any of the whatever headphones that you're using fit you well. Going with the higher quality device makes a difference. That fidelity, if you have good fidelity there, you're less inclined to want to turn up the volume. And so those are things that you can do to help prevent that. But just education and making kids realize, hey, you get one chance at this. Your hearing loss is not you can't fix it. All you can do is get hearing aids and help support it, but you cannot fix any loss of your hearing. So I think the reinforcement is key for our kids.
Overloaded ears age 50% faster than ears not pounded by sound. And as someone who has had loud rock and roll blaring in headphones for decades, all I can say, doctor, is what? it's serious, though. You got to beware of that. Dr. Jeffrey Bomer, Northwestern Medicine. Thank you, doctor. Have a good week.
You do the same, Bob. Thank you.